I invite you to turn back again to Luke chapter 9, that which we read just a few moments ago. We have entitled our message tonight, When Christ Passed By. And if you want the words of our text, it would be verse 52 and 53. When Christ Passed By. Let's just unite our hearts together. Word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's Word. You pray that the Lord might speak to your heart tonight, might have a word in season for your soul. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee again for Thy presence that makes the feast. Thank Thee, O God, for the hymns of Zion we've been singing. Lord, we would pray that Thou would not only pass by, but Lord, Thou wouldst come in. And, O God, Thou wouldst speak. And Thou wouldst move by the power of Thy Spirit. Lord, we pray that hearts would be touched, and Lord, souls would never be the same again, as in terms of this meeting tonight. Lord, how we looked at that with regard to Jacob in the early morning prayer time. Oh God, how Peniel was an extraordinary time for him. He was never to be the same again. We pray the same for some dear loved one, even in this meeting tonight. O God, we pray to that end Thou would shut us in with Thyself, cover us beneath the blood. Lord, I pray Thou would fill us with Thy Holy Spirit and with power. Thou would give us words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words. And we pray that the Savior might be uplifted and glorified far above all. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. There are many solemn times and solemn verses and truths that we read of in the course of the Scriptures of truth. We can think of the psalmist when he was heard to cry that heartfelt cry in Psalm 28 and verse 1. He said, Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. How tragic it is if the Lord stops speaking to his soul. A similar occasion was found in the days of Elijah, only this time on a national basis, when he was guided as God's servant to go to the brook Cherith and there to be fed by the ravens. Not only was it a time of famine of bread in the land, but symbolically, God was indicating by removing his servant to the edge of the land that there was going to be a famine of the Word of God. And we ought to pray that this beloved land and province of ours would never have to endure such a judgment, not having the Word of God preached in it, like it was in the days of Samuel, when as a child he was in that temple. And we read of that time that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Maybe you've read that and you couldn't understand what it meant. And it simply means, the sense is, that the word of the Lord was scarce. There was apostasy. There was vileness in the priesthood among Eli's sons, and he restrained them not. But God took from them the ministry of the word to their hearts. The word of God was precious. It was scarce. There was no open vision. The Savior, in the course of His earthly ministry, was to cover much ground throughout the land of Israel. That is portrayed especially so in Mark's account. For although it is the shortest of the four Gospels, yet in many ways it is the fullest. For throughout its pages is found the activity of the Savior, and the constancy of His travels and of His work is seen in the oft-repeated phrases that Mark uses in his Gospel. Words like immediately, or anon, or straightway. There are many incidents that Mark, under the divine direction of the Holy Spirit, puts into his book. But tonight, men and women, I want to draw your attention to one such incident during the Lord's ministry that is found in no other book other than the book of Luke. It was a time when the Lord was to go through the land of Samaria. And as He did so, He passed through town after town and village after village. And the words of chapter 8 and the words of verse 1 not only affirm that, but they also remind us of the purpose of Him in doing so and what He did in those villages. Let me read it. And it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. He went there to preach the glad tidings of the gospel. Men, women, young people, we're thankful tonight to God that in this district there still is an open door for the preaching of the whole counsel of God. That being so, I trust that you're not like the people that we want to look at this evening. And your response to the message of the gospel is not what it was in this unnamed village of Samaria. For here was an occasion when Christ passed by. Christ passed by. Verse 52 says, and He sent messengers before His face, and they went, entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him, and they did not receive Him, because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. I want you to see there, first of all, the readiness of the Savior. You might consider with me, the time that the Lord's ministry was on this earth was a very short period of about 3.5 years. And that meant time was of the essence. And it is often seen throughout the Gospels that to get to the destination, to where He was going, He would often have taken, in human terms, at least the shortest route. That meant, of course, treading on territory which the strictest Jew would never have gone. And that was through the land of Samaria. And in this passage, that is where the Savior was to be found. He was passing through the villages of Samaria in His sovereign plan. But understand that there was one particular place to which He often was heading, and that was His destination this time around. And that was the city of Jerusalem. You have it in the words of verse 51. Came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. Verse 53, and they did not receive Him because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. The question might be asked as to why the Lord should often have went there, and why at this time was He seemingly determined to go there. And of course the answer is found in the fact that it was at Jerusalem that the Redeemer of a lost and dying mankind would lay down His life upon the cross of Calvary. It was at Jerusalem, outside those city walls, where the Christ of God would offer that once for all sacrifice for sin on behalf of sinners. We could say in the words of the apostle of old that this was the mind of Christ. Calvary was ever in His mind, and hence there was a readiness of the Savior to go to Jerusalem and to go all the way to the cross of Calvary. For we know that for the joy that was set before Him, and He would endure the cross and He would despise the shame, when the Savior would willingly lay down His life, it would be in God's perfect timing. And yet in these words we notice that this was not too far distant. You look at what it says in verse 51. Came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. Now we're only in chapter 9. We've got to get to chapter 23 before He's on the cross. But already His face is set to go to Jerusalem and to the cross. You see, the time was approaching when the Savior would go the way of the cross, and He would take the shortest route to Jerusalem as He would pass through these villages. There was a readiness to redeem men and women from their sin. There was a readiness to accomplish the work that the Father gave Him to do. His face was set toward Jerusalem. His purpose in coming to this earth, you remember, is given to us in Hebrews 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. That's why the Lord took unto Himself our humanity, yet without sin. That's why He became flesh and blood. That was His very purpose in coming to this earth. It was that He might go to the cross, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Dear sinner, tonight in the gospel, I proclaim one who had a readiness to redeem your lost, undeserving, unworthy, never dying soul. And I seek to uplift before you tonight the only Savior who was willing and the only Savior who was ready to pay the price of your redemption and mine. Consider also that even though the Savior had this great task before Him, and He was now on His way to Jerusalem, and all of that would entail, there was a readiness with the Lord to abide and to dwell in His village in Samaria. He desired that He might spend the evening there, that He might dwell with the people, and that it would be a place where He might be refreshed and rested for the journey that lay before Him. What a privilege, what a blessing would have been for the Lord of glory to stop in His village. You know, there's much talk of a place when the Queen comes by and she stays in that place for a time. There's much talk of late of world leaders that are coming in but a few days' time to the county of Fermanagh and of the places or where they will be. Here is the Christ of God. Here is the only Redeemer. Here is the only Savior. Here is the eternal Son of God, the one who created all things, the heavens and the earth, and all that in them is, who had come to carry out the work of redemption, and there was a readiness with Him to come to this very village and to pass in through its gates and to abide with them. His readiness to abide in His village was such that He sent along messengers before Him, verse 52, and He sent messengers before His face. They went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. There were those who went before them to tell them that the Savior was drawing near. They were told of Christ. They were to hear of the one who had wrought miracles, who had been to other places, whose power had been witnessed. And my dear friend, this evening, that has always been the way of the Lord. He sends forth messengers to speak of Him. He employs mere servants to go before His place. He does not send angelic beings. He sends His messengers. That was the case with the prophets. It was the case with the apostles. In the Old Testament times, the prophets were those who heralded forth the Savior's coming from Abel and Enoch, who prophesied of Christ. We have a summary of it in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. It says, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Who did the Old Testament prophets speak about? They spoke of Christ. Christ is to be found in all the Scriptures. What was true of the Old Testament was also true in the New Testament. For the apostles were sent forth as messengers of Christ, and the same is true to this day. It is the messenger of Christ. They're sent forth by Him. They're commissioned by Him to speak of Him. And the importance and the solemnity of that task is encapsulated in Romans 10 and 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? My dear friend, you have heard. You're hearing the preacher again tonight. one who seeks to speak of Christ. You're aware that this is God's way, in that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not God's way to be entertaining. It's not God's way to be putting on a show of drama. It's not God's way to be putting on a musical concert in the house of God tonight. It's God's way to preach the book. It pleases God through the foolishness of preaching. See them that believe. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And dear soul, without Christ, what was true of the Lord with regard to this village is true also in the spiritual sense of the Lord with regard to your eternal well-being. There is one whom you have heard about. You've heard of his power. You've heard of his willingness. You've heard of his ability to save that soul which is lost and destitute. You've heard of the one whose power can transform and change life into being a new creature. Of a truth, it is the Lord who's coming, is drawing near, and he alone can and is ready to change your heart and to change your life to the very point. And we tell you of him. And we show you afresh his readiness to do such a work. A work that only God can do. I wonder, will he do it in your heart tonight? There's the readiness of the Savior. But let me show you also the record of the Scriptures, where the Lord sent his messengers before his face. But if we would merely take a moment to consider what the Scriptures record here, then we will be brought to understand something more of what their message was to this village. A messenger has a message. These were no exception. For they are described as those who went before his face in verse 52. And yet we also see the manner in which his face is spoken of in the previous verse. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. It was the face that was set to go there. It was the one whose face would be marred more than any man's. And these messengers, they went before him to this village in order to speak of his coming. Their message was that he was going up to Jerusalem. And I put it to you that the message was of Christ and of his sufferings and of his agonies and of his death that would soon take place outside the city walls of that city. Yet you'll notice how in verse 51 bears record to this. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. I want to stop there. I want you to look at that little phrase. He should be received up. This time was fast approaching. Aye, it was well nigh at hand when he should be received up. While earlier in the chapter we have the Lord transformed on the mount, along with Moses and Elias, and how their conversation was of his death. You look at verse 31. He says, "Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." You picture Moses there, and you picture Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah the prophets, and they're in conversation with the Lord. Moses, who was forbidden to cross over the Jordan and into the promised land, yet God gave him greater. For down the centuries of time, he has this appearance with the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. And what are they speaking about? They're speaking of the Christ death. They're speaking of the time where he would go to the cross. They're speaking of his decease. The time which he would lay down his life on the tree. And here the Lord, in our text, he looks beyond yet the sufferings and his death, and he sees his ascension back to the Father. For it says there in verse 51, the time has come that he should be received up. The time when he should be received up. That's the very manner which it is spoken of in Acts chapter 1, when a cloud received him out of the sight of the apostles. That time was now imminent. But understand, dear loved one, that you can't have an ascension unless, first of all, there's a death and a resurrection. And so what you have in that little phrase is a bringing together of all the constituent parts of the gospel message. What is the message that the messengers of Christ are to preach today? What is the message that sinners need to hear and sinners wherein will be fine or find their only hope? It's of Christ and of the sufferings. It's of the one who bore the wrath of God against our sin in his own body on the tree. It's of the one who shed his own precious atoning blood. It is of the one who died and was buried according to the scriptures, of his bodily resurrection, conquering death and the grave, of his glorious ascension back to the throne of God on high. That's the message. And I tell you tonight, it's a message that speaks of Christ having finished and having accomplished and completed the work of our salvation. It is a message that speaks of the sufficiency of the work of our Savior. Oh, let me tell you tonight, dear loved one, all that needed to be done to obtain your salvation has been done. All that was needed to satisfy God's law has been accomplished. All that was required for the sinner to be reconciled to a holy God has been done by Christ. Jesus paid it all. And dear friend, this evening, that's the message that not only is recorded in this passage, and of which the messengers proclaimed, but that is the message recorded in all the scriptures. From Genesis in the first message that God preached of the seed of the woman and the covering of Adam and Eve's nakedness by the skins of the animal, and to do that they had to be slain and the blood had to be shed, and there's a message of redemption. For it points forth down through the corridors of time to God's perfect Lamb. To what we read in Revelation and of the description of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. How is he described? He is the one as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The record of the scriptures is of Christ. That's what your heart needs to hear. That's what this district needs to hear. Christ is able to save your sin-sick soul. Don't miss it. There's another little detail which is given about those who went before his face. In verse 52, they sent messengers before his face, and they went, entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. There was a message to deliver, and to which this village was to hear, but there was also to be a making ready for the coming of the Lord. This people weren't ready. The Savior was approaching. He was passing this way, and they weren't ready. And you remember how it is put in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, while the 5 foolish who had no oil in their lamps went in search of it, we read that the bridegroom came. And in verse 10 we have those words, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They that were ready. My dear soul, the message and the task of the messenger is still the same. We're telling you of the Savior's coming, of that day no man knows but the Father, but the fact remains that many of you are not yet ready. You're not ready to meet him. You're not ready. Your heart is devoid of Christ's presence and of his power over sin. You've never repented, you've never confessed unto God your need of the Savior. There is those I look into the faces of tonight, and you're still unsealed. And I've said it before, you might have sat here for 43 or 4 years, yet you're not sealed. ready, without hope. For die without saving faith in Christ, and your eternity will be without hope. You see, men and women, that is the record of the Scriptures. Not only of the only Savior, not only of your need of the Savior, but it warns you that the Scriptures tell you of that place where the Christ rejecter will go to. Sin must, and it will be punished. And so, dear friend, you need to make ready. And there's only one way that you can make ready. That is by recognizing that you're the sinner and you need the Savior. And you need that heart experience of the new birth. That which Nicodemus heard about that night. Except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Dear soul, you can be made ready just where you are this evening. You don't need a preacher. But if God by His Spirit is striving with you, you can meet with the Lord where you are. And recognizing your sin and repenting of it and being sorry for it, you can call unto God for mercy to save your soul, and you'll be ready. For God has said, not the preacher, God I said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll take you in. He'll change you from inside out. He'll give you a new heart. And he'll give you the grace to walk for him. But one final thought. It is the response of the sinner. Here's a village which was to be privileged to have the Savior's presence in it, to have the Lord of glory stay within its confines for a little time. A village which had heard the messengers, a village which had heard the message, had been warned that the Lord was coming their way, and yet, unbelievably, we read nearly of their response in verse 53, and they did not receive Him. What do we learn from those words? They did not receive Him. We learn they refused the Savior who could save them. They refused God's perfect servant, the one who was on His way to Calvary to lay down His life for sinners. Here was a village that, although the Lord had intended to stay in, was a place that never knew the Lord going into it. The Lord had time for this village. He had time to stop by, even though it was a Samaritan village and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But the Lord had time for these sinners. But sadly, the Savior never entered in. For it says they did not receive Him. And if that speaks of anything, then surely it reminds us of the depravity of the human heart. The one who could save them from their sins, yet they rejected Him. Dear sinner, you're just the same as these people, for you've heard of the glorious person and of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've witnessed His power in the lives of others around about you, and yet you have rejected Him, and you may have said within your heart, I will not have this man to rule over me. But you reject the Savior. The only Savior who can save you. These words also instruct us of the responsibility of the sinner. And they did not receive Him. You have a responsibility in hearing the gospel. I have a responsibility in preaching the gospel. You have a responsibility to respond to the claims of Christ. The Lord has everything that you need, dear sinner, and yet can it be, as you sit under the ministry of God's Word again, another time, that you again will reject Him? Instead of rejecting Him, will you not receive Him? John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them give He the power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. And as the Lord passes this way, and He is brought right, as it were, up to your heart's door, let me ask you, what's going to be your response tonight? I trust that on that great day of account about I, when you stand before God and give account, and you'll give account of what you did with Christ, of a Sabbath evening of the 9th of June 2013 in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church, I trust His words will not be those of Proverbs 1:24, because I have called and ye refuse. I've stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. Ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of all my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. I tell you, sir, those are solemn words. Too late then. What will you do with Christ tonight, dear? What's going to be your response to the gospel tonight, young man, young girl? I don't want you to miss the reality where this village was concerned. With this I close. The reality was that the Savior passed them by. You know, we read here in verse 54 of the sons of thunder. That's what they were called, James and John. Oh, they were ready to call down the fire from heaven upon them. They asked the Lord, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven, consume them even as Elias did? We know we'll learn a lot of things about that. Here were men that knew the Old Testament scriptures. They knew about Elijah. Here were men who had confidence in His power to do such. If the Lord called the fire down from heaven, they would be destroyed. And here were men who had a deep honor for their master to the extent they would destroy every one of His enemies. Lord, will we call down fire upon them? They've rejected Thee. They will not receive Thee. But you know, the Lord reminded them that He hadn't come to destroy men's lives, but to see them. When they would not receive Him, what did He do? What He did was, He never entered into their midst. He passed His people and He passed His village by. And you'll notice how it is put in the words of verse 56, and they went to another village. He passed them by. What happened to this Samaritan village? They were left to themselves. They were left in their sin. And they're in the eternal record of God. And we don't know its name. They're an unnamed village. And we can only presume that they continued to reject the Christ of Calvary. They rejected Him while the Savior was received in another place. And my dear soul, the Lord is passing this way. Make sure that you avail yourself of this opportunity in the gospel. and don't have the Savior pass you by. For reject Christ and you will know the judgment of God upon you one day, and your epitaph will be in hell. Too late. Jesus of Nazareth hath passed by. Can you afford the Lord to pass by you tonight and to go elsewhere? Left in your sin. If God doesn't speak to your soul in grace and mercy, you'll be damned. Oh, may God help you to come this night. Come now to the Savior. Come and be saved for His own name's sake. Let's sing a couple of verses in closing, please. 252. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and me. See, in the portals He's waiting, watching, watching for you and for me. Let's stand to sing. Verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3, 252. Servant for you. Your trouble of heart tonight will gladly open the Scriptures, gladly speak to you. Just say to us at the door, wait behind afterwards. Love to point you to the Savior. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the message of the Gospel. We thank the Lord You're interested in sinners. We thank the Lord You gave Christ to be our Savior. Oh God, we pray that, Lord, some soul would not reject Thine offer of mercy tonight. We pray, Lord, that they would not say no to Christ. Lord, this evening they might receive Him by faith. They might know pardon from sin. Oh God, speak on. The preacher's voice is silent. Draw that soul by the cords of love. Thank you, Lord, You're still softly and tenderly calling. Lord, we pray the best might yet to be tonight. Answer prayer. Heart is in Thy favor. Accept our thanks, for Thy mercies toward us are ready today. Do abide with us further. We pray in Jesus' precious and all worthy name.